things I don't know how to play, and I don't want to anyway. Need to delete this game and go back to another save. But my hard drive's fucked. Zero charisma, zero luck. I don't have any skills or the XP to fix my.
Hello and welcome to the ninth episode of the National Institute for Gamer Reviews, Gamer Core. I am DK.
I'm Lewis. And in the third seat today, we have Chris Pratt.
And in the fourth seat, we have Bowsette. unfortunately not. Remember Bowsette? I kind of thought things were dead, but no, things are kind of going in a weird and hilarious direction. And one of the top line items is Chris Pratt culturally appropriating black people by playing Mario in the in a new film.
And this is why you need to, Miyazaki wouldn't have allowed this. He takes tight control of localization, but Nintendo, they kind of just, they offer it up to one of these companies that does like the Sonic movie. I think they just offered it, hey, we need money, or we want money. Make a movie. It's gonna be a very interesting, like, generic thing. Is it animated or
live? No, it's live action.
Are you sure?
I think it's live action with computer generated shit. But yeah.
But is Mario animated? Is the question, right?
No, I think it's like Chris Pratt in a.
There's no way.
I don't know. Actually, let me look this up. From what I understood, the Jack Black playing Bowser. Wow, I didn't realize. That
Bowser's gonna,
okay, it's the voice cast. You're right. So it's an animated film movie. You're right. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
I just had this vision because the cast of seems Chris Pratt in like overalls
with
like
a guitar for sure,
and like making goofy faces.
Oh no, sorry. Bowser's gonna be playing guitar. It's yes. Jack Black. Yeah.
Yeah. That would be great. But I guess
that makes
not
more sense. That's why the cast is so like actually all star, because it's just voice acting and not like an actual.
Right.
We're never gonna get the Super Mario Brothers.
So have you ever seen the insane like 1991?
When I was a kid, yeah.
Yeah. So apparently the whole thing is on archive.org, and they have like the guy who, I was reading this article.
Well, because to copyright strike, you have to admit to owning it to copyright strike.
Exactly. And it's not just that, there was like a guy who went over one of the original, I don't know, filmographers or something on the, one of the original people involved in the production, found a VHS tape. There's this whole, I'll put a link in the show notes, but there was a whole article he did, I think with Slate or somebody like that. Basically, like, there was all this lost footage because originally, like, the first cut of the film, both in terms of the planning and then in terms of, like, the actual footage that they ended up, because there was some back and forth between the directors and everybody was unhappy and they had to get replaced and blah, blah, blah. But it was, like, some kind of
a John Carter Dune situation.
Exactly, yes. And it was a, like a cyberpunk dystopic thing that was also very, very much not PG. Like, one of the things that they mentioned was they had apparently like strippers in the background of several scenes, and they had some kind of rap song in the middle of it. And like the rapper, there was like the rapping was happening while these strippers were like doing stripping stuff. And so the studio executives saw this, were like, this is a movie about like for 8-year-olds based on a video game,
sir,
for 8-year-olds.
This game has two buttons, sir.
Yeah, right. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? So they had to cut out the strippers and a bunch of other shit. But then this guy found like a VHS tape with some of that footage, and he did like AI enhanced color correction, blah blah blah, and like this quasi unusable VHS tape to like restore it, and that's the version that's on the Internet Archive. I haven't seen it yet, but
that's wonderful.
We'll have to do a compare and contrast, I guess.
Or we can just do like a Mystery Science.
Exactly. Yeah.
6 million. Whatever.
Yeah. So, but anyway, yeah. So I guess it's just, that's unfortunate. I just had this mental image of Chris Pratt in the Mario overalls with like the goofy face, and I was like,
I guess like, because you could do like the Marvel, or then the movie like the X-Men, where it's, oh, we're doing a serious take on Mario.
Where right.
He's got like a he's got like a mallet or something like that. And
yeah,
it's like a jumpsuit with red arms or something like that. Like.
Right, but unfortunately, it's just, and I wonder if it'll be like just straight up in the. I'm curious what the animation itself will look like.
I would assume it's similar to the Angry Birds thing, right? It has to be like.
It has to be, yeah, exactly. Like just a more.
It's not DreamWorks or Pixar. It's just like this studio that does these movies.
Well, the interesting thing about Mario is, so the I guess the visual design of the character changed pretty radically from his inception. Through like the Super Nintendo generation, but has been remarkably stable since Mario 64, yeah. Basically, right? Like I would say,
yeah, no, for sure. I mean, even Mario 64 is just like it's just Super Mario Brothers, but 3D, you know?
Right? Yeah, but like, well, now that it's 3D, it's sort of like you get a certain, yeah. Very particular thing, and that thing has been very basically yeah. They've added polygons. And, you know, high definition,
yeah,
but it's pretty much exactly the same character design. So my question there is, like, are you going to go with that character
well,
design?
Well, also, it's weird that it's not, like, an in-house thing. You'd think, like...
Yeah, I'm sure Nintendo has animators that could do it.
Yeah, I guess they don't want to. Or it's probably... It's kind of clearly for, like, an American audience. It's not like you're getting, like, the dubbed version of, like, a Japanese movie. Which is also weird that there never really was, like, a Japanese... Well, there was like what Super Mario Bros. Super Show, but they really
that was with like some like Ron Jeremy looking dude or maybe it was I don't know, there was like
there's even a Japanese production of Mario, has there? Or has there been a Japanese Mario show? That's a good on the fly research question, but
I don't think so. I think it was that one that was like the Captain Nintendo.
Nintendo seems very skeptical of like TV.
Yeah, or any kind of like visual. Well, they had like you were probably too young, but do you know Captain N?
I know Captain N, but I don't know this Captain N.
there was this. It's like a kid in a kind of varsity jacket with an N and like the Nintendo original Nintendo. I know. I've tried to track these down. They don't exist.
I'll make it varsity jacket with an N.
No numbers, just the letter N. And he would have like the Nintendo Light Blaster, like from the original light gun from the original Nintendo, and he would use it to like. You know, save Princess Zelda and
the N's love their guns.
Yeah, right. But 1993, not 1991. Okay, is the original. And we have it on the.
Yeah, I guess it makes sense if you got burned so badly in 90.
Exactly. They made just these really really terrible cartoons. And like, have you seen the Zelda cartoons?
They're
just
notorious.
Bad. You know, just really. No, not the.
Those are 3DO. Oh, not 3DO. I'm not.
There's
the cartoon.
There's a separate. Like, there's a separate cartoon. They're just about. They're not quite. So the 3DO. So that for those, this is like deep Zelda lore. But like, there was some kind of agreement between Philips. The like Dutch, you know, electronics conglomerate and Nintendo, as part of like I think it was related to the original place because the PlayStation was supposed to be a CD add-on between it was a hardware manufactured jointly between Sony and Philips. There was going to be an add-on kind of like the Sega CD for the Super Nintendo. The whole thing fell through and they ended up, you know, Sony made its own CD based gaming platform. That they eventually called the PlayStation and the rest is history. As a part of the fallout of that deal, there was still some kind of licensing arrangement between Philips and Nintendo where Philips got some kind of rights to do something with Nintendo IP. And so they made with the Philips CDO or CDI or whatever, they released some absolutely god-awful, unplayable, I wouldn't even call them Zelda games. They're just
it's like a visual novel. Right?
No. It's like it's kind of like.
Is there a game element? I've only seen cutscenes.
No,
so
no,
I don't know.
Yeah. It's more of like it's kind of like a Zelda 2 style 2D platforming thing. They have some overhead segments. It's just terrible. It's basically unplayable. I've only played it once. Like I don't even remember where it was. It was just it
so
was,
like you call it like Atari tier. Like
yeah. Okay, very much like a Jaguar type thing. Exactly. And they had these cutscenes that were probably you've seen, you know, our audience in like YouTube poops and so on. You can see some of this, but it's just like the funny thing about that is like it's not just that all the quality is so bad generally. It's that like the animation itself doesn't
it's not on model.
Yeah, it like zooms in and out weirdly.
But
constantly,
like somebody will turn to the left and their features change.
It's
really bad.
It's really, really, really bad. The Nintendo official licensed ones, which I guess those were like, I guess also official, but it was a different kind of licensing agreement. This was like put out essentially as like a Saturday morning cartoon with like Nintendo and Zelda on the label. And they're not much better. And this is where you know, like, excuse me, princess. And Zelda's Link is like a kind of just, I don't know. The whole thing is just really bad. But it's not quite at the level of like, what the fuck were they thinking with the CDO thing? No, and they had a couple. They had the Mario Brothers one, I remember. And I think they had a rap for that, too.
This oh, is the Mario sure, Brothers sure. Yeah, I believe I have fever dreams of it. I think. It's weird, like haze memories. You don't quite
right.
And
we're exactly.
not. I don't want to look up the fly. So confirm,
no, it doesn't matter.
I don't want to confirm or deny it, but I guess if you were burned so brutally,
right?
And like, I can see why they would never want to touch
no
TV again ever. Which also makes it.
Well, it also speaks to their corporate ethos of we make toys.
Yeah, they it's like because you want this. You could look at like, oh, they doubt their ability to do like a Pixar thing and tell a story, which.
Maybe they should.
Maybe they should do it. Like, it'd probably be better than, like, the Angry Birds movie, but with Mario. And I guess we're going to be seeing this for the show, aren't we? But we're probably going to watch it for the show.
Oh, definitely. Or yeah. We're going to have to. Yeah. When it's released, absolutely. We're going to have to.
And we got 2 years to.
That'll be fine. And then we'll just, you know, but we could do a compare and contrast with the other.
With the real cut of.
Oh, my God. I can't imagine. I can't wait. Yeah. So. So anyway, so that's part of the big news, and I guess what do you? I know Sarah Silverman's out there saying you can't have goyish actors playing Jewish parts, and you know everybody's making Italian jokes, and I just you know obviously joined in on the fun and the thing. This is all in good fun. Nobody, you know, I need to justify myself, but it is kind of funny that Chris Pratt. I think he'll do a good job. I don't have anything against.
I mean, he is a actor who is, you know. Currently, what he's probably the top guy right now.
He's one of the top guys, but not just that. Like, he has gotten in trouble. Now, granted, I don't, you know, you don't want to read too much.
It was like Joe Rogan tier. Like, I like red meat and women.
Like, not even just that. It's like, well, that was his like thing that he did. But not even just that. He's basically like conspicuously to the point where he got called out for it. Like, come out and like he got in trouble for basically not being vocal enough in favor of abortion and stuff because he apparently seems to be. Somewhat genuine Christian, like he actually is. You know, he's a believing Christian. I mean, he, for whatever value that has, but he's not. It's not cynical. It's not something that he like puts out for. But it is like a kind of thing, and it has caused some friction in his career and in his kind of PR stuff because you know when people were expecting him to do the typical Hollywood people thing, and he's like, no, I'm not a Hollywood person. I'm a Christian. And that's caused some issues for him. So, and then he had to backtrack it. I don't remember all the details. It really doesn't matter. It's just because, you know, it's one of these things where it's like you any little scrap of that you see, it's sort of like, okay, that's at least he's not completely degenerate. Seems like. I don't know.
Yeah. You know,
it don't matter.
Yeah. Apparently he's got a based Instagram or whatever. It's all like hunting stuff.
It'd be funny if he, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. If he had something like wholesome like that. I think he also is, as I believe he like has gotten married once, has stayed married so far. So mm-hmm. It's like you always like to see that. Not very common in Hollywood land. But anyway, yeah. So the other big and I guess as of this recording, still somewhat breaking news is the Twitch.tv hack. Which I don't know that Twitch really needs any introduction to our audience. It's a giant streaming platform. It was originally Justin.tv. It became Twitch.tv, which was where video game streaming in particular really took off. And now you can find it on YouTube and all kinds of other places.
And now it's like post video. Twitch is like post video games now.
Yeah. So I haven't really like. I never really. I mean, I only ever kind of like watched a tiny little. Bit of Twitch content for certain like real-time strategy game like big tournaments I would occasionally like watch a little bit of that's about it, and I haven't really done any of that even for years now they had some recent controversy over, did you see this, about like hot tubs and shit?
So there's a thing on Twitch where, because like Twitch was like, oh yeah, you could do a cooking show. Sure, it doesn't have to be video games. Like we're not crazy. We're not Nazis or anything.
But then Femoids
But then, like, well, I mean, it's always been the thing where the chick streamers do better than male streamers, like, for a certain average of
right
competence versus whatever you want to call it, a personality. So, like, titty streaming is the thing where a girl will wear, like, a low-cut shirt and play a video game. It's kind of par for the course. But they went, like, further than that. And they...
Well, it was basically softcore porn.
They were, like, cam girl-y stuff and just in bikinis... And in pool.
And they weren't even like pretending to play games anymore. It was just like literally I'm in a hot...
It's a post video game thing. Oh, you can do it. Sure, you don't have to play a video game.
Right. Or even like cosplaying or anything like that. Which is all kind of gay and retarded, but at least you could sort of say like, well, you know, if they're dressing up as a video game character, I could sort of see. But there wasn't even that.
Well,
right?
Also, like, if we talk about post video game stuff, like that the pornography angle is second to like Twitch is now a product for a openly like fake socialist.
What do you mean?
Like Hassan? He's like the highest or second highest earner on Twitch.
Oh yeah, I heard of this guy until this story broke. Oh, so you'll have to red pill me on. All
right, so he is, everybody forgets it or it's kind of forgotten in his image. He is the nephew of Chink Wigger.
I didn't know that either. The Young Turks. Yeah,
and he's like. When you get like layer, so he, obviously he's like a very much like a good goyim progressive, and he's just doing that with like the DSA coat of paint as opposed to like the Young Turks thing. That's how he got big. He's from a family of, you know, good goyim who are doing the thing, and he's like the new Chapo basically. He's a streamer.
Did Chapo get canceled, or did I hallucinate?
They kind of ran out of gas. It's like, it's the problem with being like a multiple person project is they all still like do all right. I think they have a show once in a while, but yeah, no, Chapo, they haven't made a new show in a while.
And, okay,
but
so
yeah,
he's the new Chapo.
Yeah, basically, and he's obviously
I saw he bought
he's
like
much more malleable. He's like a, you know,
okay.
Obviously, you can tell. Like, oh, he's easier to control than like.
Well, I was gonna say, wasn't the thing with Chapo was like, first of all, they called themselves dirtbags, but they're also like goyish whites who were like legitimately interested in workers' rights, which is not.
Yeah, they weren't even all white. But yeah, but
whatever.
Yeah, but they had like a legitimate like there were guys who listened to Chapo who definitely now listen to Daily Show, like 100%. Like, yeah, no, there's crossover there where.
Hey, this guy is never gonna.
Yeah, no, he's so much. It's basically like the Destiny thing. He's doing like he's doing a very similar thing to Destiny, but he cut out all like Destiny's gaming stuff and like Magic cards stuff,
mm-hmm.
where he's just doing pure DSA shit. And so here's the thing where it's wild is Destiny. So it's just the Twitch numbers. But so Hassan makes an insane amount of money.
I saw he bought a $2.75 million house. In
yeah,
California,
but so he makes
millions a year.
He makes $200,000 a month. But here's the thing, after him the drop off is massive.
Yeah.
So
is he like the number one streamer on Twitch?
He's like two, I think.
Okay.
But there's, I think the first guy's like a video games person.
Well, the other thing I saw was like, I mean granted it's all kind of, but that shouldn't be news to me because you figure like, okay, you know how many paying subscribers someone has because that's basically public even before the hack. Twitch takes 50%, so you multiply like 2.5 times the number of subscribers. That's like, okay, some people are going to pay more, and you got Super Chat or whatever they call it on Twitch, but like that's basically how much money they're going to be getting, right? So it's like, how is this new to people, I guess is my question, or is it?
I think it's just that he's the biggest guy.
That's the news, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
And like people kind of had this, so, you know, Twitch is this video games thing, and like, so Destiny is like number four, but talking about the drop off, Destiny is not poor.
Destiny's on Twitch?
Yeah, that's how he's always been a Twitch guy. He's a streamer to us, because he'll go on like whatever,
gotcha,
whatever hood rat thing we're on that month. before
pour one out for DLive, I guess.
Yeah, or not, I guess.
Oh yeah, fuck those guys. But anyway, they stole money from me. I don't really care, but it was like a couple dollars. But anyway, it don't matter. Anyway, you were saying,
but he makes like $10,000 a month. Which does not, like, from living in California where he lives,
it's not necessarily,
it doesn't seem like it's a great, I'm sure he's got other sources of income that are marginal, but like, that Twitch is kind of where he does his thing. And
so he's number four at 10,
like five,
and number two is 200?
Yeah, no, it's, that's
crazy.
The thing. It's like, the other thing is Twitch streamers, no one's like making that much money off this thing. It's all like people like talk about like streamers have like a certain lifestyle. I think though, and like, they don't actually, they make like, you know.
Right.
On a good day, think, you know.
I mean, if you're living in L, I don't know where Destiny lives, but if you're living in LA, $120,000 a year before taxes is really not that much.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously people dude.
I mean, I'm sure he has other sources of income or whatever. You know, I'm sure he.
Oh, you mean getting paid by Mossad or whatever?
Yeah, no. I mean, I wasn't thinking that. I was going to make a joke, but, like, you know, I guess, you know. Yeah. Which is, how much money does Vouch have? Like, none? Vouch was like, the 10th guy made, like, I think it was in, like, $90,000 or yearly or whatever, something like that. So Vouch is making, like, no money. Vouch is not making that much money to do what he does. Which I guess you can respect it, but, like, dude,
you could get paid, man.
I would just soften on, like, some of the Israel stuff and
right
any more than you already have it anyway, and just cash it, like.
Well, yeah, I mean that Twitch has always struck me as, like, weird. I mean, it's the definition of a parasocial activity. I mean, leaving aside the kind of, like,
streaming by itself, streaming and tipping, and
it's such a weird. Like, what are you even doing? And I mean, I know I'm fully aware that I sound like the boomer, you know, the kids these days, you don't even play video games, you just watch someone else play video games. But no, but really though, like, unironically, that's...
Well, it makes me wonder how much of their market share Twitch has that YouTube must have sucked up.
Right.
Because it's huge on YouTube as well, and Twitch is no longer like the household, Twitch is like a household, or felt like it was a household name to us because we know video game stuff.
Right.
Twitch isn't like it's big anymore. Now, when you see a streamer, it's usually on YouTube, I would say. If someone tells me a streamer's name, I check YouTube before I check Twitch.
Sure. Yeah, me too. I wouldn't even think of Twitch first. Which reminds me, and this was also part of the angle to this story too, is Twitch was acquired by Amazon not that long ago. And it seems like, I mean, there's like a lot of...
Oh, that was a shell game. Like, it was, oh, there's nothing in the cup. You know, you picked the wrong cup, you bought the wrong thing. Right. Like, there's not really much here.
It turned out that way. I don't know that it necessarily, like, you could, I think back when they did it, Twitch was still growing, and it seemed like it had all the momentum, and YouTube at that point had not. Now YouTube has
YouTube basically, streaming used to be terrible.
Exactly. And now it's really not, especially for gaming you can do, because I remember there was a period where I think Twitch basically wouldn't allow you to stream at 60 frames per second 4K unless at all, and even if even then when they had certain, like, 1080p 60 frames per second was, like, basically YouTube had superior capabilities, like, right out the box, whereas
YouTube is good at just saying it's like, oh yeah, this is 1080, whatever.
That's also true, but I know that, like, Twitch would limit you, like, you couldn't, if you were just some export whatever, yeah. Like, you know,
YouTube will just give you a thumbs up and say, sure, dude, we'll take it.
Exactly. Which, because of YouTube has, they just lose billions of dollars, they don't care.
Right? Yeah.
Whereas Twitch, at least, especially at that point, had to make money, and then they were acquired by Amazon. And that was, like, there's still a kind of question as to, like, what exactly this hack is about. Part of the speculation I've seen, which again is just speculation, but it seems to be, because, well, the problem is, like, okay, well, they didn't go after credit cards, they didn't go after personally identifiable information, like, really all they did was just expose all their source code.
So it feels like if I can just speculate,
yeah, please.
Pure speculation, hacks like this seem to be like the state actor hacks against the U.S.,
exactly.
Iran, North Korea, China, Russia,
exactly. Yes.
Where it's just like Amazon is to these countries,
exactly.
Amazon's a part of the U.S. government, they just got basically swindled. We're going to lose faith in Amazon as a company, as a stock price.
Not even just lose faith, but, like, part of what I was seeing was that because Twitch is now essentially at a technological level fully integrated into the Amazon thing, like, the practices and the procedures
that Twitch, so they're red teaming stuff got leaked, which is very interesting.
Yeah. So, like, in other words, so the stuff that, so for those in our audience, the point here is, like, what Twitch does for Twitch's own cybersecurity, you can then expand. You can pretty much extrapolate. Like, okay, well, that's whatever Twitch is doing is what Amazon policy is. Which means if you can learn how Twitch works and what, like, at the back end level and you know what their security, and as you said, the red team, like, so you know, for cybersecurity, people will, like, play the hacker part and try to break into these systems, and all of those logs and all of those strategies were leaked as part of this hack, which means now it's like, okay, well, if we now
says it could be a red team guy who was pissed at,
could very
so, like, let's say you did it in the red team and they nixed your, like, war game, like, oh yeah, you couldn't actually pull it off in real life. He's like, oh, fuck yourself, I will do it.
Yeah, like, and then he did it, and then and now all that's out there, which means that Amazon has to be shitting bricks.
Have you ever seen red team logs get leaked?
No, I've never,
it's,
not
I've
in
never
my life.
Heard about it. I'm sure it's happened before. It's never heard
must
of
have,
it.
But I've never heard about it. And certainly none of these big profile things.
Yeah.
I don't think that was red team though. I think that was just like
that was North Korea.
Okay, yeah,
Sony hacks were North Korea.
Yeah, okay, I didn't know that.
That's basically been, like, it was because they made that movie with.
Oh yeah, right. 100%, yeah. Okay. So anyway, so this is potentially very damaging. Like, Twitch is kind of irrelevant. Like, I think everybody kind of understands, like, whatever. If you want to watch, like, hot tub streams, you're a degenerate. But, like, whatever. And then, you know, there's some video game content, I guess. Amazon is clearly, I think, you know, if it wasn't, that's a very interesting speculation, and it's definitely could be something like that. If it wasn't just a kind of essentially random one-off, if it was a more coordinated
state actor
type thing, which I think is the kind of default assumption for the most part, seems like Amazon would be the real target, and that would be the real reason.
And China would be probably the piece of, probably. So if you're not following the news right now, the US and China are in like a minor state actor hack war. At least certain PRC websites have been defaced with, like,
I didn't know that, actually.
In the last couple of days, a few days, which is funny that, like, that's what it, our cyber capabilities seem like worse than theirs, because their system is all probably a government, it's all like a government mainframe. It's probably is well defended and has been red teamed very well. Whereas our government is all these like 25 corporations that are, you know, like all interlocked. So I think we've defaced some websites with like, Taiwanese stuff.
It's so gay. I can't even.
And
man.
Then they've like leaked all of Twitch's like stuff, you know.
Yeah, like, you continue down this road and we're going to hack Amazon and, like, really, you know, all your rainbow dildos you're getting delivered to the 7th floor of the FBI building.
Yeah. Which also wonders how much of this what do you call it, the unloading of ships crisis that we're going to have enjoying right now is like a,
I think that's just a supply chain. I mean, that's a completely different thing. But
but like,
no,
what is it?
Just,
well, like, what supply chain is like a thing on a computer, right? Like,
to some extent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the problem with the ships, from what I understand, is what they were blaming in the Wall Street Journal was dock workers. Like everywhere else in the world, they were saying that people, you know, basically work 24. Like, there's always someone working. There are no like dead hours. It's, you know, 3 a.m. on the docks, but somebody is unloading the ships. That's not the case. The U.S. dock workers are one of the last functional unions, and as part of that, like, in order to unload and unload ships,
you got to pay extra,
and, like, you know, and it's there's no limits on overtime.
I've seen season 2 of The Wire. I know how it works.
so it's just you gotta, like, and that's from at least the kind of capital class was trying to blame the situation on the labor. I'm sure there's something to it, but yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
Well, I do
at
think
all.
The reason that dock workers don't want to work, this is kind of a Wire joke, but it is true. Like, the reason dock workers don't want to work on the nights is because when they steal shit.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like, yeah. And more power to him. Like, go ahead. Yeah, like, this is
BA nigger to the system.
Yeah,
BANTS. That is our motto.
Yeah, and if they're working all night, how do you go in?
You can't just like steal a pallet of PlayStation 5s if you got to actually like account for it.
Yeah, what are you, nuts?
Yeah. So the Twitch hack is big news, and I imagine it's one of these things that we won't hear much about, precisely because it's so embarrassing. And actually, I mean, talk about Amazon too. Like, you know, you're no longer at that point talking about, like, you people talk about, I made jokes about rainbow colored dildos, and there's that too. But like, Amazon Web Services.
I was gonna say AWS. So it's, if you can hack AWS, that's not just Amazon.
That's the Department of Defense.
Yeah,
like that's like military contract at the highest level for like these, you know, internet services.
Yeah.
For
which
the
is
military.
Why China is like utterly correct to view us as what they view us as. Like, people, say, yeah, you can be like, conservative. Well, the government doesn't control corporations. It's whatever. It's like, no, like, the government is literally like, uses these services, like. If you send your secret emails, you're probably touching Amazon somewhere. You know, it's...
Yeah, no, it's ubiquitous. I mean, that... And then Amazon, that was, you know, part of their strategy from the beginning. That was, like, how they intended to... Like, Amazon Web Services to this day is the only actually profitable part of Amazon as a company. And that's...
And it spent the first time not being... it wasn't profitable until, like, recently, right? They flipped the switch to make money again. And
Right. So yeah, watch out for that. But again, it's one of those things that I just don't imagine we're ever gonna, like, that's the kind of thing, or maybe, you know, years after the fact, or who knows. But that's all gonna be happening in the shadows.
There's probably some fun digging on this. There's some interesting think pieces. I know that because Twitch has had like drama with certain streamers leaving the platform over like internal disputes over money, and it was gonna see like at the peak of Twitch, who was making money, who makes money now,
right?
Dr. Disrespect, the famous streamer.
I was about to
had that
was
really
sure.
High,
yeah.
high profile.
I never saw any of his. I only like seen images. I've never watched his stream. But he's this guy with like this like mullet and the sunglasses, and
he's playing both the 80s protagonist and bad guy, the same character.
Exactly. And I guess he's got to start doing Call of Duty streams, and then took some time off, and then got back more into streams. And yeah, he was one of the biggest streamers on Twitch, and like for reasons that are still unclear,
he lost a not just he was kicked off of a bunch of platforms, but and for, then YouTube.
But for what? Like
no, and then no one. It was very well hushed. He wouldn't talk about it.
No, he said he didn't know. He said like I don't. Yeah. I literally don't know. Which he may or may not be lying. I don't know.
So there like, may have been like a my speculation before this. Maybe this will find out. Is there was like a hey, all these streaming services had a no you can't ever go on a YouTube thing. Like a non like they had
but
a,
it was like but it was like hidden there was a secret that you can't go on YouTube.
I don't know, maybe he knew or chose to violate it and claim he didn't know or couldn't claim he knew, but like all these smaller platforms agreed to like have a not what's that
like a non-compete
like an embargo against you can work for like Twitch and DLive but not YouTube. Yeah
I don't know. I mean all that shit's so I mean I don't know whatever I guess it's like instead of TV, I mean it's one of these it's like TV that's always on that you can pay $5 and have someone read your message out in real time or something. Like I don't really know. I'm sorry, Zoomer culture is I'm starting to feel old now. I'm like I don't get Zoomers sometimes anyway, but yeah, there's all kinds of weirdness with Twitch streaming
and Twitch in the past and like the center of certain scandals and stuff, and it'll be interesting to see like the behind the scenes on something, but I think that'll come out as people like dig into their favorite thing.
Well, the problem now that Twitch has all that stuff is almost certain to come out because like now all their source code has been exposed.
Oh sudden, yeah, they're like, retargeted a million times.
Exactly. So it's
well, just, the interesting. I don't think they ever went down though.
No.
So not speaking as part of hacks, that, like Facebook went down for a minute. Which is
yeah, what was that about? Like,
it was apparently pushed an update bad.
That's what the story is. Do you
no? But it makes sense. No, I mean that makes sense with the DNS stuff. Is that they pushed a bad update? And normally, if you push a bad update, it's not a big deal because Amazon's hosting your website, not you.
Right,
but Facebook's hosting your Facebook's one of the few companies that is
doing their own thing.
Well, they're serious about keeping it all organic to them,
mm-hmm.
to where like no one's on their back end. It's all Facebook all the way down to their internal key cards at the fucking
right. That was the funny part. Like they literally couldn't even get into the server cages.
So they're just also they discourage people from using like phones, like for texting. They say, hey, use WhatsApp. Keep it all internal because we know who's spying on WhatsApp
and right.
It's us. Right. So it's fine. The problem was the like head of security who had like the master. So it wasn't that they lacked a physical key to get into this room. They lacked the guy's phone number who works at this place.
Oh, like all he has a WhatsApp.
He has a phone number. They just didn't know it because they didn't have a roster of phones.
Oh man. Yeah. That's, man, I don't even know what to. There's some collapse posting in there for sure, and something with landlines too. Like nobody has a landline, but they're some of the most resilient technology. Like cell towers go down in a light breeze sometimes, and landlines will still operate, but nobody has one.
And no, if you don't know your number with the landline, like
right. The other, since we're on like the big tech topic, and it is tangentially at least related to gaming, is Windows 11 has now officially been released. Is your PC Windows 11 ready?
No. I mean, it'll probably against my will become that within the next few months or weeks. It'll update against my will, right? That's how it works now.
I'm not sure. They did that with Windows 10 and people really hated it, and to the point where they had to like introduce a...
But has anyone stopped using Windows 10?
Well, Windows 10 is also like, first of all, I actually kind of like Windows 10. Windows 7,
fine.
Windows 10 is totally usable. It's like Windows 7, just, you know, with more, like, with more compatibility and so on. So, whatever. The thing about Windows 11 that's, the reason I asked it that way, which maybe you're not aware, is this stuff with, like, the Trusted Platform Module, TPM 2.0. Are you familiar with this?
No, I'm not aware.
Okay, so basically, like, there's this whole big kerfuffle because Microsoft, for reasons that are kind of unclear, and it got even murkier as this has gone along, is they decided that everybody has to have certain security features. Security here, I'm going to put in quotes, because, like, it all just is very suspicious. They're like, supposedly it's something to, I don't know all of the details, but has something to do with, like some of these exploits for processors that have been released recently, and they want to put certain stuff in certain parts of your memory so that it, you know, things are being executed in ways that other parts of the system don't necessarily have access to. Okay, fine, maybe. But the bottom line is they're insisting on certain hardware requirements that even very recent, like I had, I have an old, it's not even that old, but it, I mean, it's still kicking pretty strong, an X99 Haswell E5820K that on paper, like, I mean, it's still, I mean, this was like a 7 or 8 year old, 8 year old now, but it still really was, you know, high end then and still great now. That doesn't have this TPM 2.0 motherboard capability, that like not, then means you're not eligible. The Microsoft won't support you. And even like much worse on paper, it's not about your like processor speed. It's about, do you support this particular thing that, to me, I'm just gonna, this is me going schizo maybe, I guess, but I'm just gonna, this all just reeks to me of like Mossad getting a backdoor in
here. I was going that way with it.
Yeah.
I was saying they're getting fucked by the Chinese, the Russians, or somebody else. Somebody else has been like using this a lot.
Yeah.
And they're pissed.
Yeah.
Like that seems like the only thing. Because like there's always like, there's the thing where there's what people like universities, like, you know, Wargaming had to hack Linux over and over again. Windows doesn't have an equivalent like to push like a standards. It's all like,
no, it's a million.
It's the government.
Yeah.
I think they probably get our lunch eaten.
That makes a lot of sense. That certainly would I have to assume it's something like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, you have all these DOD machines and State Department machines, all these, you know, and just,
yeah, but
whatever.
That's weird because they're not getting these up. Like, you think your new gaming PC from 8 years ago doesn't have this stuff? There's no way a DOD laptop from 2 years ago does.
Oh, well, but if they're gonna, that all the more reason to,
yeah,
procure, you have to like procure money. You know, think you're looking at this one. You gotta like, no. That's why we need to spend trillions of dollars to buy everybody new computers. This makes me sick, but I figure it has to be something like that. And so now it's like, okay, well, if you want to be secure using the strongest crypto, then you're gonna be, you know, all the government's
gonna
be running.
It's gonna be funny because you get the shittiest laptop, like a secret laptop is, you know, you get a piece of shit if you ever get.
Yeah, but if it has that's what I'm saying. It's not about processor speed. It's not about RAM. Yeah. It's about like, do you have this little doohickey that lets you run in this protected mode,
this architecture, or whatever.
Yeah. Well, they could do it. You could do it on the, so there, they could do it like one of the things, and I saw this was hilarious. This was like as soon as the announcement went out, because like for a lot of like kind of like mid 2010s motherboards, like this only started being a thing like in the past couple of years. So that's why a lot of people were pissed, because they want Windows 11 and they bought maybe a brand new, you know, high end machine in like 2016, 2017, and it doesn't have this capability. What it might have, which some machines have, is a little like thing on the motherboard that, like, if you get like, because you could do it like, I don't know to what extent it's hardware, but it's like somehow the motherboard can interface with the CPU to provide this kind of runtime environment. Or you, if the motherboard doesn't support it, like at the BIOS level, you can get a physical device that you put into the motherboard to do it, even if the motherboard itself can't. That little device, it has to, of course, the motherboard has to have something for it, but if it does, then it's like, normally it was like a $10 thing. These little things were selling on eBay for like 50-100 bucks.
Really?
Yeah, for a little while after this, and because everybody was like, oh shit, my motherboard doesn't have TPM 2.0, but it has like the slot where I can put a physical thing in that normally would cost $10, but now I'm selling, they have to buy it on eBay for $100. Okay.
So we talk about monkeys in the piracy episode, monkeys typing Shakespeare. There's a lot of people working on this. I wonder if that's probably the holy grail right now. It's like, hey, can you just trick your computer into saying it's good?
Well, so and then there was this whole exactly. So then there was this whole other drama where people were like trying to, because Microsoft released this PC health checkup app to see if your computer is Windows 11 capable, and it was telling shit tons of people with like brand new machines that their PCs were not Windows 11 compatible. Now, part of the reason for that was that apparently this TPM module is like so, up until this point, is so obscure and just kind of like, really, unless you're a very dedicated cybersecurity guy, you wouldn't even necessarily be aware of it. Like it was not enabled by default in the BIOS, even of motherboards that had it. So like,
that's nice.
So all
that's
these
good.
All these motherboards were being, they have the actual thing in it, but it was not enabled by default. So people were freaking out. Like, I don't understand. I bought this new thing. I even just built my machine. Like, why the hell am I not? And we had a lot of people who, especially like more normie tier people, who like literally never interacted with the BIOS in their life. Literally not once in their entire lives have they ever like pressed delete or F12 or whatever while starting up and like gone into a, if you're ever overclocked, of course you're familiar with this, but most people haven't, obviously. And so like it was this thing where they and they were, you know, talking to the manufacturer even, and the manufacturer saying, well, it's in the it's on the motherboard, and but it wasn't enabled and they didn't know. So now and further like along these lines. So I was having some very, very strange niche hardware issue with, I recently built a AMD machine because fuck Intel. And I mean, I know it's all kind of the same thing at a certain point, but to the extent that Intel is being manufactured in Tel Aviv on top of everything else, I'm like, nah, whatever, I'm going AMD. So I needed to, you know, my old machine was finally starting to show its age, and I was like, okay, fine, I'm gonna go AMD 5900X. And there was some issue with between the X570 motherboard and the 5900X. I'm like, okay, so I had to update my BIOS, and I noticed, so like, this was just a few days ago. So before I went to go update my BIOS, the PC health, I got the ticker thing from the Windows 11, the update center, and and it said that your PC is not compatible. I'm like, I know for 100% fact that it is, and this is like, I'm seeing this issue now for myself in front of my own thing. I go to update the BIOS, and I go to like, after updating the BIOS, I restart, I look in, and I see that it's enabled now by default. And sure enough, without having ever changed anything, I go back to the PC health checker thing, and it says, okay, you're good now. Which means, and then I looked at confirmation, indeed, the manufacturers are doing this, but I just saw this for myself, that manufacturers are pushing BIOS updates that literally do nothing other than enable TPM 2.0 by default.
That's good. That's like, that's what you would assume.
Exactly, right? So, yeah, it's just a giant clusterfuck, and now it's gotten to the point where Microsoft itself is, because at first people were figuring out like how to do it themselves. Now Microsoft has gotten in on the game. It's like, actually, if you don't have that, you have to have at least 1.2, which I guess is a bigger chunk of machines have the 1.2 than the 2.0. But if you have at least 1.2, which is way more machines, then you can basically just edit this particular registry key, and then it'll allow you to do the update. It's like Microsoft is telling you how to hack your Windows registry to like bypass their shitty service that they foisted on people, and like it's just the whole thing has been a disaster of a rollout.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, this reminds me of because we brought this Microsoft and as also the security vector for issues. Because I always remind that, you know, on the old chips, hopefully this is fixed, the Chinese like leaked all my information that I have to government, right?
Right.
It's like, fuck. And you know, I get those emails every once in a while, like, hey, make sure you're not opening any credit cards, because.
Oh.
But I was wondering, maybe it is a government line thing, because I don't know how they did that, or if this will even help, but we have been getting our lunch eaten. I think that recently the CIA put out a story.
Yeah, it was just a few days ago in the New York Times. This is one of these things where I don't know, I haven't seen our, maybe it's a third rail content or something. Mm-hmm. We should dig into it a bit, because CIA basically sent out
could you please stop killing our assets?
Like dozens of people, like not just killing, of course, but also turning flipping them into their own, into like, you know, Chinese, Russian, whoever assets for themselves. And apparently the one of the most unusual things about this was that it was sent ubiquitously to all the stations everywhere in the world. And that's part of the thing with it. It's like, what's the game here? Because they sent it out, I believe it's top secret, but it was immediately leaked. And of course it was. So it's like, okay, well, clearly they intended for this to be leaked. Why would you like want to have essentially, why would the CIA want to send what amounts to a global press release? It's like, yeah, we're getting our ass kicked. Like, it's just weird.
Yeah, but like, what if they like, so like if I understand like why like, an organization does this, because like they don't care if it gets leaked. Like the people in the organization knowing it's a serious business is a higher priority than like us knowing we're losing. Which is usually not the reverse for the CIA, but like if there's a pattern of like their guys get it, like the CIA expects a certain level of, hey, you gotta have at least three guys in the South African Stock Exchange being like executives being our guys, right? It's like, hey, we can't maintain those numbers because they keep getting like murdered or flipped, like. There's like issues if it's, you know, if they can't like maintain their quotas of
right.
Yeah, and they do have that was one of the funniest articles I read at CIA was how they had like quotas for new agents to like they would just send like Geneva or like high end Western Europe meeting spots to just pal around.
I mean, of course they do.
And you know. It was but like the it was just basically I think it's like a competence test, but like you just find some bank executive in Europe, take him to a strip club, get him drunk,
right?
Who's married and take pictures of him. It's like, oh, now you're a CIA.
Now you're a CIA agent, right?
Yeah.
Or I mean, whatever asset.
Yeah. And you know, if you find something comes up, let us know. And then come loose, you know.
Oh man.
Sorry, video games, right?
No. Well, and it's all you know. It's fine. Yeah. It's just interesting how the. I mean, I guess to me the one of the main, like obviously PC gamers, less so I guess console gamers obviously are but PC gaming has always existed in a kind of
next to hacking,
yeah, and like at the forefront of tech, like it's always it's one of the main drivers of technological innovation. So I mean over the, with you know all kinds of graphics, so like all the you know Pixar movies and all this kind of stuff that we were talking about, you know, before with the Mario thing, like a lot of that technology was developed essentially to like render video game graphics faster,
like originally. By Nintendo for the N64,
yeah,
specifically,
exactly. so like you know it's not that it's an interesting kind of you know these worlds overlapping and you see these worlds overlapping, I guess. It's just funny how
I was wondering what John Carmack thinks about this.
I bet he's got isn't great... he doing like VR stuff now?
Yeah. But I bet he's got a take.
I bet he's got a really cool take.
I bet he knows exactly what's going on.
I bet he does. He's like one of the freaky smart. When you think about like what goes on, especially in the early 90s where you just don't have computer resources, he's like, you invent a mathematical framework for a project. I mean, that's high level math. Yeah, I think he's even won like legit like academic math awards because it's a legitimate area of inquiry in, you know, formal like academic mathematics of this whole question of, you know, you have data essentially. I mean, mathematicians don't refer to it typically as data, but it's data in one arrangement on a, you know, like a figures on a plane. How do you project it onto like another plane or into another kind of space, you know, from one and, you know, from one n-dimensional space to another type of n-dimensional space. I mean, in this case, it's more limited. We're talking about three-dimensional space or like the something that would look to a human eye like three-dimensional space and projecting it on a two-dimensional plane. Yeah, I'm sure Carmack has interesting to talk to him about this kind of stuff. But I just noticed that it was I just instantly see this stuff because I know what Intel has. I mean, that's part of the story with Intel being in Tel Aviv, right? Is they like officially, unofficially, quasi-officially have backdoors in every single Intel machine, right?
Yeah. And then also, like, I think part of the sweet deal was that, like, you don't pay tax anymore. Like, they got some sweetheart deal locally with, like, hey, we'll just not pay taxes. And, you know, it's like, okay.
Yeah, so...
But interesting that they moved HQ and manufacturing there.
Right, yeah. No, that's pretty much...
Weird. Israeli, I think actually yeah. Weird because, like, Israel's a bad place to make computer chips. For like a myriad of reasons, it's not a good spot to put a chip factory, if only because it can get blown the fuck up. Like, so the draw, like, why couldn't you just make it in America or third country and do the evil things in Tel Aviv and just have them put it in the chip? But now it's all in Tel Aviv. It's very weird.
Speaking of which...
I'm sure some of the manufacturing is still in China.
Well, and okay, so and then that brings me to while we're on this kind of topic of like the intersection of geopolitics, war, and video games,
I still can get a fucking PS5, yeah.
Right, well, that's what I was gonna say is like, so the chip shortage continues, and I mentioned this on Third Rail, but it continues. I think the previously it had been the record had been like 30 something aircraft simultaneously violating nominal Taiwanese airspace. Now we're up to like 50 something as of a few days ago. The Chinese flew like 50 something sorties.
They're trying to deliver PS5s.
It's like the Taiwanese people want the PS5s and the People's Liberation Army wants to liberate the PS5s. But yeah, but
they're trying to drop them off.
The
only keep scrambling fighters.
They just want their PS5s, man. Why won't you give it to them? Yeah, no, the situation in Taiwan is like, it's just really weird, and I haven't, from what I understand, like that
the geopolitical tension with China is like not factoring into the supply shortage, as I understand it. I could be wrong, yeah. but like doesn't
well,
seem to be
I
part
think,
of the story.
Well, historically, with the thing is that China doesn't really give a shit about the economics of Taiwan. Like a lot of Westerners have this dumb idea that what they're doing if they're doing to capture the semiconductor factory and like. So you actually can't like capture a semiconductor factory because they're so easy to scuttle.
Right.
Because it's like a clean room. It's basically like a yeah. clean room on you a just, clean room on a clean right. room.
Yeah.
And if you like just leave a fucking like a Molotov cocktail, it's over. Like you can't. They're China's not worth about capturing this. They it's for purely jingoism or pride or.
Well, they just don't want an American airstrip 100 miles or whatever yeah. off their shore. Like I don't blame
yeah.
them.
Yeah,
100%.
But like that and that's. So yeah, but apparently yeah, apparently it's not. It's just pure like. Chip expensive, Bitcoin also can't unload chips anymore, so the raw materials, the raw earth minerals are having issues.
Yeah, and Australia is having production problems. They're just going completely insane, and they're not even like,
and there's just knock-on effects of well yeah. this production stops in the US, so we stop ordering parts from China, so factory stop China stops and starts transferring to make.
But if there is some kind of obviously like it just seems so the breaking ish news as of this recording is so there's all these sorties being flown by Chinese aircraft simultaneously with like just the breakdown of there was this situation with Australia and France and the USA, right, where Australia was going to purchase was a diesel electric submarines from France, and then they reneged on the deal and decided to go with American nuclear subs, which like New Zealand has some anti-nuke ban, so that caused problems between Australia and New Zealand. It also had knock-on effects, of course, with the United States and France. So now you have John Kerry going out on international TV saying that, like to the international press, that Joe Biden is, quote, literally not aware. That's the direct quote from John Kerry, that Joe Biden is, quote, literally not aware.
Did he also say possible troop movements to Taiwan in the same speech?
Something like that, yeah. So it's yeah. like, okay, so you have senior government representatives going out and saying the president just doesn't have any sense of what's going on. To me, the question there is like, okay, well, which faction is he, like, you don't just like. I don't think
who's
that's
in charge.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, or who do you want me to think is
what's
in charge?
The schedule? Like, is it Mondays right. or Kamala, right. and tomorrow it's Clinton? Does Kerry get him on Thursdays only? Like, what's
yeah? Like, is what exactly? So if you're China, you're looking at this like, okay, you know, I'm not like the American military capabilities continue to degrade, so there is some benefit to like waiting the Americans out. However,
100%.
However, you also got to figure like. Maybe there's a window now that's not necessarily going to exist
well,
in 2025.
An interesting
right?
case where this is like gets into pure like geopolitics and like crowd psychology, where there is a very strong argument that within the next 10 years, Taiwan will voluntarily just be
sure.
annexed.
Yeah, I mean, what are they going to?
But the
yeah.
Chinese gain more nationally from a war in terms of the legitimacy. Like China is not. They China's argument. Well, they have less legitimacy issues than the U.S., but they are obsessed with legitimacy. As a cultural value and norm.
Do you think they would gain more legitimacy from forcibly taking Taiwan than like reintegrating them, you know?
I think they would internationally, and they care about that.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Okay, yeah.
Like China has never been in a war is a
yeah. They right exactly. You know, they proved their military and everybody knows Taiwan is very well defended, you know, they, yeah. they're very, you know, it's a tough nut to crack.
It's the
yeah.
Israel of the yeah. you know, yeah. East Asia.
Versus, I mean, because to my mind
and it's
would be
also
like,
not
you know,
costly compared to say Korea or Japan, which right. are much strong. There's no U.S. troops in Taiwan as of now. There are not, and I think, and we have no obligations under.
No, what was it? What is a strategic ambiguity? Is the official policy of like we're not going to tell you if we're going to defend them or not? Which, like, okay, I mean,
which is a no.
Yeah, is a no. At this time, is a no exactly,
and is a no. It, yeah. Like if you when you have a U.S. defense treaty, it's known about
right.
Like the idea of a secret defense treaty hasn't been a thing since. I think before World War
I. Probably like the 1800s, yeah.
Yeah, like a secret defense treaty. Maybe.
Yeah, if it's not public, then it's not worth anything.
Unless it's with Israel. But, yeah,
that's... well, that's not a secret. Yeah. Than, that's yeah, not a secret, yeah. But yes.
Yeah. It's like a secret nuclear
the
weapon.
Word, I wouldn't use the word... Yeah, yeah. I know, but I, of course.
It's
that's
like a secret nuclear weapon. It's treaty guarantees are treaty guarantees. We're not you're guaranteeing it or you're not.
Right.
And
Yeah, exactly. So that, I mean, that's just the only thing that, like, I mean, it's an interesting, because to maybe, I don't know, we're going for, that's fine, we could just, it's all kind of relevant.
I'm
I
just
mean,
saying, Call of Duty 8 would be great. All kind of stuff to draw from, you know? Yeah, Taiwanese Marine in the last stand of, you know, yeah.
Yeah, and then you get blown the fuck up by a Chinese drone. Yeah.
Well, no, it's, well, the thing is, it's a guerrilla race last stand because it's made by Americans after the fact. We interviewed refugees of the conflict. And
oh, God. Yeah, what are we going to do with this? However many hundred thousand Taiwanese refugees? We got to resettle them in your nice lily white neighborhood.
See, well, a war would avoid that, whereas annexation wouldn't. Annexation, they get to leave. Yeah. If it's a war, they just become and get new passports.
Man. Yeah, I have to figure it out. I was saying this elsewhere. I think that the like the problem is with the Chinese real estate market looking very, very, very strange. Like Evergrande is currently their day 10 or so of the 30-day grace period since they failed to repay some bonds.
You know what's funny is that in the U.S. a business that would just get money. But like a grace period is a very like sensible way to handle it that we would never consider. Like the US market being a capitalist thing, that's actually a really good idea to handle the insolvency of a thing. Also, the Chinese are buying those cheap bonds. The Chinese government.
Yeah, they're loading up on. It seems like there's a part of. It's like a quasi-official.
Like they're going to. It's like a buyout, but it's a true. It's not like GMC.
But they're paying like literal pennies on the dollar. Yeah.
No, it's very interesting like how a non-liberal economy handles. Like a liberal crisis,
but the problem is, I mean, I don't, I know that they're doing something. The Evergrande situation is not resolved. People will tell you like, oh, it was nothing burger. No, that hasn't really come down on either side of the fence yet. Definitely, one of the things that's happening is the Chinese government is purchasing asset like equity and assets at fire sale prices.
Paul Krugman, BTFO, by the way. again.
Who predicted this? Who could have predicted this? Yes, yeah, so, but that's not. I mean, you're still talking. I mean, they still owe like hundreds of billions of dollars that are like that don't exist. And
well, I think also China's like not. There's a lot of takes, but like one of the great like, legitimacy with China, one of the sources of discontent is like property value is too high.
Yeah, right. The rent like, is too damn high. Yes,
we're like, and that's a, so like there's probably an issue where there's like.
They even have a slogan was like houses are for living in, not for speculating, which like can you imagine the American government like coming out with like a national policy of a motto like everybody repeating on you know American state media like don't speculate on houses, they're for living in, like irrespective, like let's say regardless of whether it's effective or not, like just the fact that they're willing to come out and do that.
I mean, house speculation is a career in the U.S.
Oh yeah, I mean you have like multiple television shows about
it. It's a middle class job.
It's not just no. It's not just that house speculating is a middle class job. There's a whole industry. There's like multiple, like dozens at least of people who are employed in a sub niche genre business that is just making television programs about people who do that for a living. Like you can make a living making TV shows about people who flip houses for a living.
They did good shows.
I mean, you learn. I'm sure you learn all kinds of tricks about, you know, improving your property values or whatever.
Yeah, it's called curb appeal.
Oh my god. So anyway, so the situation in China is definitely. I mean, like they it's not over, and we'll see what happens. But it's not difficult to imagine like that we're between the kind of general supply line hinkiness and there, China is having big problems with their. Like their electricity has already been like they apportion this the Chinese state allows a certain amount of electricity usage per province per year. They're all in excess of that. So for the rest of the year, at least Chinese factories are going to be at about 2/3 capacity, which is adding to the supply
and unemployment
and then unemployment exactly and
which
and then,
brings me to because we mentioned it, I think previously like the crypto stuff, big clout bet. In 5 years, it'll be legal to mine Bitcoin again in China. But I think all that Bitcoin stuff was because of this. They're terrified they're losing capacity to miners.
Oh, that makes perfect sense.
Because you are. You lose a lot of. I mean, actually, it's not that much relative to the.
But it's total still like.
But
yeah.
if you're rationing factories, you're cutting Bitcoin. You're
definitely cutting Bitcoin entirely. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Because I think they're not afraid of Bitcoin, especially compared to like the U.S. Fed, which is this weird like. Respect fear because it's an equity, which means like people have money in it, but it means you can hide money and all stuff. Where China sees this as this is a growing market, we're gonna play in it. And I think that's why Evergreen and UST are kind of linked up in certain ways, for sure. And I mean, Binance, look, is it
Chinese? Yeah, no, exactly. That's is he Malaysian or something? I don't know all the
But I know he's like ethnically Han.
He's a Han national who lived in Thailand for the majority of his life, I think. But
yeah, whatever. I mean, exactly. They're all the Chinese. For the far as the Chinese state concerned,
he is. If you ask him, he's Chinese. You know, like
So the crypto side of this is all part of the story, and I guess the bottom line for me is like, I'm watching this as sort of like increasingly nervous man buys another thing of salt to put in just like, I don't know, rice and beans. Like, I don't fucking know what's happening, but it's definitely like it just strikes me that you know, nothing ever happens until it does, and with the situation being as crazy as it is, and nowhere is that more evident than in GPU unavailability and prices when they even are available. And so I guess to conclude with that, like I'm going to believe that the kind of geopolitical situation has stabilized when I can like walk into a Best Buy or go into like Amazon's thing and just order the latest, you know, RTX whatever, and it's not a problem.
Yeah. Well, also the thing is that if you look at like the crypto side of the processor issue is that, so let's say Bitcoin crashes today, it takes an absolute dive to like 25, like blood on the streets. It's still massively profitable to crypto mine Bitcoin at that price. Like the all-time, high was what, like 24, 22?
Before the most recent bull run,
That was the.
Well, I remember. I mean, it's just that Stone Toss basically never misses, and this is like that Stone Toss comic about where it's like Bitcoin crashes to 10,000, and Bitcoin crashes to 50,000, Bitcoin crashes to 100,000, and like the 100,000, the dude's like about to kill himself. There's definitely that vibe, and I remember seeing like Reddit posts, not that I would ever go to Reddit, but it was like screen caps of people who were like basically taking out second mortgages to buy Bitcoin at $20,000, who were like freaking out because it crashed obviously in 2017, and beyond, way low. Not to say that was like smart to buy it to FOMO in at the all-time high. But if you held onto that Bitcoin, like you're riding high, right? So like it's an interesting dynamic. And yeah, there's very few price points. We're nowhere near like even a horrible, as you say, like a 50% overnight collapse, 60-70% overnight collapse. It's still profitable,
extremely profitable.
Yeah, right, and now it's going to be profitable in the long run.
And Ethereum
too,
has made that is also in the same.
Well, that's I think more so for GPUs because I think it's hard. For Bitcoin, you want ASICs. For Ethereum, is more for the GPU specifically, as I understand. I'm not really into the mining.
Also, if you're an Ethereum Classic right now, please get the fuck out. there's Ethereum Classic is also like mine. You can mine that. It's very popular.
Is that different? How is that different from what is Ethereum? Oh yeah, that's I remember.
It's like fork, effectively.
Okay, all right.
It's somewhat easier to mine and it's more popular, but the thing is, like, if you're in that as an investment because you saw it in Robinhood it says Ethereum on its name and it's like $90,
who
are getting wrecked.
You gotta be kidding me,
because that's not real Ethereum.
It's not a real Ethereum. It's
but
not...
also it's easier to mine for like a normie, so people are just mining it and dumping it. The price is never gonna go up again because it's just
like just there to be dumped.
Miner dumped. And even Bitcoin gets hurt when miners dump,
yeah,
which has stopped recently, by the way. Miners have stopped jumping in a lot of cases, so back to the moon. if you're into that thing.
All right. Well,
we have a little more video game news, but to change gears to Smash Brothers.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we could close on this. So you're gonna have to fill me in because I'm just not in that world, and I just don't. Okay. So what is it? The character, the
Sora, the OC from
Kingdom Hearts. I know we have. I forget. Someone contacted us a while back about doing Kingdom Hearts. I've never really played Kingdom Hearts. I think you've never really played.
Have tried very hard. It is not a great.
I played like 10 minutes of the original Kingdom Hearts on the PlayStation 2. That's about it.
I've played a decent amount of Kingdom Hearts, but I consider it a JR. Well, I don't have a lot of like Disney,
sure,
nostalgia, and I have less Final Fantasy.
I know people who said, like, people whose opinions on this stuff I respected say, like, over time, if you play like the whole saga or whatever, that it's actually a really good, deeply involved,
story.
But it's still, they still get JRPG story.
I mean, it's like you got
the JRPG stories aren't that great.
It's like Goofy and
yeah,
OC doing whatever the fuck. Yeah. I don't know. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know. We'll probably have to.
But the cool thing is that Disney's involved in that thing, which makes licensing Kingdom Hearts eventually impossible.
Yeah, but and, they got it for the Smash Brothers.
Yeah, and there is like a Disney wink, and then his like he's a little keychain with a Mickey Mouse on it. That's, okay, it's like in the thing on his character.
Did Disney have to sign off on that? Do you know? Presumably,
probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So people, because I know Smash Brothers is like this whole. So do they like this or do they not like it? It's like the Chris Chan of fandoms.
Yes.
Okay, they like it.
No, but like, yes. They like and don't like it. It's like...
Wait, what?
Nothing makes these people happy.
I said the Chris Chan of fandoms.
Yeah, like people hate this. I would say if I had to put up 15% think it's cool. Right. But he is apparently the most requested character.
Okay.
I wonder how much of that is in Japan because Kingdom Hearts is apparently pretty big in...
Okay.
Kingdom Hearts is like, not that it's not big here, but it's apparently quite big in not America.
Okay.
Because Final Fantasy is huge and Disney's huge outside of America. You know, these things are related. And America is always a little, a little worse.
Is Cloud? Or I guess that's Sony, so you can't have... Yeah, I'm just like blanking. I wonder if you could do like... Could you do Super Nintendo era Final Fantasy characters in Smash Brothers? Like, that would be kind of cool. Probably not.
I mean, Cloud is in Smash Brothers.
Cloud is in Smash Brothers?
But it's like... And it's new Cloud, too.
Okay.
So it's not like the
interesting. That's so
weird. Sephiroth and all them, yeah.
I wasn't sure. I was like, did I hallucinate that? Or did Cloud is it. Okay. So you can do Cloud. Why not, like, yeah. I mean, I guess why not anything at that point? And yeah, Snake is in there, too. That's not even, like, tangentially related. That's just straight up.
Yeah, just, I mean, at this point, it's just Minecraft's in there. Like,
Minecraft is in there?
Oh, you weren't aware of Steve? Steve is, like, one of the characters. It's pretty good.
It's been forever since. I played the shit out of the original N64 Smash Brothers, which to me
the current Smash Brothers is hard. Probably, I mean, Melee is great.
Sure.
Whatever, it's like the, it's like an actual fighting game at this point, probably. But like the current Smash Bros. Is probably the biggest Smash there's ever been in terms of like character roster.
Right.
And
but I imagine it makes it impossible to balance, right? I mean,
well, they always had tiers.
Tiers?
Like A tier character, S tier character.
Like internal to the game or?
No, but like internal
for tournaments.
Like tournaments, yeah. Like always, you know, you can't pick bans, that kind of stuff, you know. I think they don't have any banned characters. It's all like.
You could get a certain number of slots for...
No, you play as well. I haven't looked into Infinite Smash in a while, and I never will again. But when I was following it, the impression I got was that you have a character. It's like
your character.
Yeah, it's like... Well, because you only have one... You don't change characters mid-game in Smash.
Sure, yeah.
So you just play... It's like a Street Fighter. You play as Ryu, you play as...
Okay.
Link, you know.
I remember... What was it? The Wampo combos, like Falco and... Yeah, anyway... Deep internet lore.
Yeah,
I guess. Okay. Was there anything else on the Kingdom Hearts bit or?
There's some internal. I'm not getting into like internal about sword characters or not sword characters because that's a whole thing. I don't want to do like Smash Brothers competitive issues. It's interesting. Disney's allowing this, which is I think Disney's really allowed Kingdom Hearts licensed stuff that wasn't like Kingdom Hearts stuff.
Sure.
So it'll be interesting.
Well, any Smash Brothers fans in the audience, you can let us know your thoughts on...
Please shower.
And with that, I hope you have enjoyed GamerCore. Take care, everybody. Dumb. Girls are...